Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dine a Disciple webinar. Before I turn it over to Elena, I'd like to just go through the noise protocols really quick. I think most of you have been with us before, so you should be familiar with them, but just a quick review. We're going to keep you on mute. And we ask that you also keep yourself on self-mute, but we will have opportunities to ask questions, maybe not so very often, but we will. The way that you put yourself on mute is by clicking the microphone, either this one here or this one here. I, of course, have a PC, maybe a little different on yours, but there should be a mechanism for you to do that. The way that you raise your hand when you want to speak will be over here. You'll have a little hand there. If the arrow is pointing up, it means your hand is actually down and you have the opportunity to put it up. If the arrow is pointing down, it means your hand is actually up and you'll have the opportunity to put it down. We have several people here helping Elena, and we'll watch for comments, we'll watch for raised hands at the appropriate time. There are, you can type a comment down here in the chat box. If you don't see the chat box, chances are you have a little plus sign here. If you click on that plus sign, it will become a minus sign, and it will drop open the message block. So you can type us a message and someone will watch for it. If you're experiencing any kind of technical problems, you hear echoes or loud noises or something, please try and mute yourself first. If that's not working, then alert us to the fact that there's some kind of a problem. Thank you. Okay, Elena, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Okay, do you see the picture now?
Yes. For some reason. Yes, we have the
picture. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to this fifth webinar where we're going to focus particularly on the etheric devitalization of the disciples CDP, and we are still on the first instruction. So we will do a small alignment of the group. You see the meditation on the screen. So please make yourself comfortable. Focus the attention in the head. And imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. We will sound the three ohms as we imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body. Purifying the astral body. Om. and strengthening the etheric body. Now visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the wildlife. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. The apex of the triangle is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards. Imagine these two triangles facing each other, the soul and personality. And by an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. The soul personality fusion. See this six-pointed star as a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers. The Ajna, the heart, and the head into one mind, one soul, and one will. to confirm the group alignment, we sound the om as a group. Om. Thank you, everybody. I will put on the screen the NATO chart of the Disciple CDP, which you should be by now familiar with, and just to have a brief look at it. For those who are the new to this webinar, we see that the Disciple CDP had a secondary soul, sixth ray personality, fifth ray mind, sixth ray astral body, and sixth ray physical body. You see that on the screen on the, for me, the left corner up. And so we will look at the instruction, the part of the first instruction which is dealing with the etheric weakness. And this is what DK is saying to her. Etheric weakness also exists. And I suggest to you that in your meditation work, you imagine to yourself the pouring in of divine energy, which is a creative function, my brother, and that you send it on a mission to the etheric counterpart of the spleen. Find out from a diagram where the spleen is located. Visualize not the physiological organ, but the etheric area surrounding it, and picture it as bathed in pure golden prana. This should prove exercise of value to you. A long experience in meditation should enable you to do so, to do this with facility. Now, from this instruction, there are some keywords which are standing out. She's using imagination, the quality of imagination, which is related astrologically or conditioned by the planet Neptune. And I would like to show you the graph over here. You don't see the whole graph of the older planes, but here is the astral plane, and you see the imagination at the second subplane of the astral plane counting from above. Okay, this is where we find that quality of imagination, and this is also the subplane where we find the heart center. So the planet Neptune is also related to the heart center. And going back now to the I have a number of things here, to the instructions. The other word here is a mission. Send it on a mission to the etheric counterpart of the spleen. Now the word mission, it means a journey, right? A journey or a path or a way. And that is related astrologically to the sign Sagittarius. We're dealing here with ethers, okay? The etheric spleen. Now the spleen is conditioned by the planet Earth, which is the soul or esoteric ruler of Sagittarius. So we see we also have astrological relation here with the energies which are mentioned here. Again, when he says picture it, it means imagine it. Imagine that stream pouring in of golden, pure golden prana. Now, prana is the name given to the energy which is drawn upon the physical plane from the etheric aspect of all what exists there, and which represents the synthesis of all energies. There are a number of references found through the books about prana. So I'm just mentioning a couple of them, which I consider relevant to this issue which we are going to talk about. Prana is also the correspondence in man to the spirit, which is but the energy or vitality or essential life of the solar or planetary logos. So prana or life energy is the energy of vitality. That's why she is asked to pour this life energy of vitality into that etheric spleen. The spleen is the most important agent of the life force. Inherent in matter itself, independently of form. So the prana or life of matter enters the physical body via the spleen. Okay? And then it rises to the heart where it joins the larger and more important life stream, the life aspect. And there they are united in the heart. And that's why the heart is also related to vitality and to life itself. Now there is a difference between this smaller life stream of energy or prana and the more important life stream or the individualized life force or life principle anchored in the heart. So the individualized stream holds together the integrated physical body and the pranic energy vitalizes the individual atoms and cells of which the physical body is composed. And when we are looking at the condition of the health, there are three laws governing or condition health. But I don't want to go into them in any great details, just mentioning that the second law, which control the equality of rhythm or manifestation of the love or wisdom, the second aspect of the logos, which shows itself through heart, circulatory system and nervous system, it controls predominantly also the etheric body and its assimilation of prana or vitality. So we have a relationship here between the love aspect, the second aspect, the heart, the circulatory system and the nervous system, and the etheric body. So this prana works through both the blood and the nerves, because the life force uses the bloodstream and the psychic form works through the nervous system. Vitalization and circulation are closely related. And the circulatory system of the physical body is controlled from the etheric body. So when the etheric body is not functioning properly and doesn't transmit prana sufficiently, and when the astral body is not under control, we have here two sources of majority of diseases and nervous and mental conditions. And this is particularly related to the disciple CVP, who not only she had etheric devitalized body, but her astral body is not under control. She was working on emotional detachment and the control of the astral body and the solar plexus. So we are going here discovering the causes of her etheric devitalization. It is not enough just to know, okay, she has this problem and what does it mean and to what other issues it is related to. The etheric body is a web of light energy, and it is motivated by the type or quality of energies to which it responds, depending, you know, upon the stage of the person and the level of consciousness where the person is focused. So the etheric is a transmitter of energies from the inner planes, including the energy of the soul, obviously. So when the man is at the lowest point as an unevolved man, the man respond only to prana as it pours through the etheric body. And it only vitalizes the physical appetites and instincts. The average man is motivated by the desire. You know, majority of humanity is polarized upon the astral plane. So the most powerful force flowing through the etheric is the desire, emotional energy from the astral plane, which condition the life. the developed man, and the developed man is the aspirant, is the probationary pass people, brings the etheric body under the control of mental energy. That's where particularly the probationary disciple towards the end of probationary pass start to work with the mental energy and focus upon the mental plane. The disciple is under the control of the soul. So on the path of discipleship, the soul energy start to come in from the soul level, where the personality obviously is focused in the mind upon the mental plane and responsive to soul impression. And through the brain and the physical body expresses the intention, the intent of the soul. So we see we have a number of energies according to the level, stage of the path and development of consciousness. So one of the main functions of the etheric body is to act as a transmitter of the energy of prana received from the sun to all parts of the physical body. But the main center of reception of prana is the center between the shoulder blades at the back, which is one of the three centers of the etheric or pranic triangle, which consists of the spleen, which is the main organ of assimilation of prana, the center between the shoulder blades, which is the receiving center of prana, and the center which is slightly above the solar plexus. So, a lack of vitality indicates the inertia of the etheric body and its lack of vitality. And the results of this inertness of etheric body can be both physical and psychological. The Master DK is telling us about this devitalized condition, that where there is devitalized etheric body and the conditions are such that there is a little chance of re-establishing vital control, we need to consider the karmic limitations and be willing to submit to them and leave the process to take its own way, to be worked out in other life. So frequently in any particular incarnation, condition cannot be changed. This applies also to the healer, who should be able to judge when he is able to heal and when the karma is preventing him to do so, and where the death is a necessary way to go. So it can be only aggravated by, you know, revolting or trying to do something about the condition. So DK is telling us, leave it. A disciple must learn to go on in spite of and not because of the circumstances. That is, you know, interesting advice here. So the etheric body, as you see, is essentially a transmitter of inner energies to the outer plane, and is the most important apparatus man possesses. And so when it is controlled by the soul energies, you know, the inner worlds, the spiritual world, it stands wide open. What it means, when we have a weak etheric body, it means one which is very loosely coordinated with the physical body, loosely connected, having a weak hold upon the dense physical. Because, you know, the physical body is just an automat. When something, you know, the effects of inner energies in the physical coming through the etheric body, what we see in a physical, it's all effects of the inner processes, depending what energies we are working with. And obviously in the etheric body we have the seven major centers plus many minor centers, and the seven centers have the glands in the physical body. So in respect, we are the glands in relation to the physical body. The centers are very important in the condition of the health. So it must be understood that it is the close integration of the etheric with the dense physical, which is the cause of all its good condition and staying power. And that's why one can be perfectly healthy, but have little resistance to fatigue. For example, this disciple CDP, she suffered from devitalized etheric devitalization, but physically had no organic trouble in her physical body. But she suffered from a glamour of her physical body. She thought she had a physical problem, which was not true. That's what one of number of glamours were behind her as a cause of her devitalized etheric condition. Now, it is interesting, you know, there were other disciples who suffered from etheric devitalization, including, of course, this disciple CDP, and there were members of the telepathy group. You remember in the first webinar, we were talking about the groups, their division. And these disciples who suffered from this etheric devitalization were obviously at different stages of the path, and the cause of their devitalized condition was different for each of them. So that's why, you know, when we suffer from some kind of disease, when we try to discover the cause, it's not an easy thing, and this is what we are trying to do here. Because only by elimination of the cause, we're going to have healthy body. So, and we know that in the book, Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, deals with the science of contact. You know, when we think, what was the group, telepathy group people doing there? What were they learning? What they were working on? Even the book itself, you know, mentioned the etheric body. So, it is not a surprise that these disciples who suffered from the etheric devitalization were in the telepathy group, and, you know, dealing with the science of contact, which represents the science of impression, science of invocation and evocation, and the science of telepathy. So here we see the link or relation or analogy between the etheric body as the transmitter and also the science of impression. You know, it's dealing with the transmission of energies from a higher levels. So here we see, you see how everything is linked together from a number of levels and different perspectives and the qualities each of these disciples were developing, and particularly those which we are dealing now, which were, you know, in the telepathy group. So the involvement of the etheric body as the transmitter of higher energies, or to be able to be impressed to direct and transmit these energies to a particular point or a center, or to be able to be in telepathic communication, particularly from soul to soul. So if there is a problem in the etheric body, the whole area of reception and transmission of these higher energies is going to be affected, obviously, depending where we stand upon the path and what qualities we lack or need to acquire or rightly express. So each of these disciples who had the issue with the etheric body were dealing with different qualities, and they had different causes for that etheric devitalization. And unless we discover the cause, we cannot understand the relationship between the health issue and the deeper inner spiritual issues. The science of impression is a mode of subjective life, which lies between the outer and inner world. So you see the close analogy to the etheric center, which is also transmitter of energies from the inner to the outer world. So this science of impression forms the subjective basis and uniting element of the entire world of knowledge, of science, of religion, and it is also connected with the abstract mind, the spiritual triad, the will to good, and its emanation is Shambhala. So the closer the etheric body is interwoven with the physical, dense physical, there is more potential for the telepathic contact and recognition of the higher impression. When there is loose connected etheric body with the physical, that it is going to affect the telepathic contact and higher impression, obviously. And it's creating a health issue of lack of vitality, lethargy, there's other aspect in the physical body, like the circulation, the blood, the nervous system are affected also. So we need to work on control of the mind, a well-regulated thought, and cultivating of dispassion will aid in transmission and reception of impressions and telepathy. This obviously involves also the mental and astral bodies and their right coordination. And it is interesting, you know, that dispassion was one of the keywords for this disciple, CDP, which he need to acquire in that incarnation. And her mental and astral bodies were not very well integrated. And we will be looking at that integration in the second instruction, where DK is talking about this. So you see, as we're looking through these processes behind her physical revitalization, we are discovering the cause, the causes of it. Because if we just read the instruction, you know, where he says etheric weakness also exists, it is not telling us, you know, what is the cause and how all this is related. And almost in every instruction, DK is bringing this issue of her etheric devitalization into her focal point, because it is affecting everything else. What she was supposed to work upon, like her dispassion, the courage of the soul. So we see everything is linked to everything else. When we are thinking now about astrology, I am going to put up her chart. Okay. The planet Earth, which is over here, it is always opposition to the Sun. Sun and Earth are related to vitality. Okay. And the fifth house, which is ruled by the Sun, is also related to vitality, where we find the Earth, which is also ruling prana. Okay. And you know, it's a powerful fifth house here. Also her moon, ruler of her Cancer ascendant, sole purpose, the test which we were talking about, the test of fear in relation to the astral plane, is also in that area. And you know, the moon veiling Vulcan rules the circulation in the etheric body. You see how everything is connected with other issues. The etheric body is particularly under the influence of energies of Gemini. Gemini particularly is ruled by the of the etheric body, Aquarius. Aquarius circulation. Aquarius Leo polarity is related to circulation and vitality and etheric vitality particularly. And planet Uranus also is the ruler of etheric body and it's placed in Leo. Isn't that interesting? The ruler of Aquarius, we have emphasize in this chart the energies We are looking now astrologically, particularly at the energies and interpretation of them from the perspective of this etheric field. The planet Mercury, which rules Gemini, is involved with the etheric body. Venus being placed in the sign of Gemini, a powerful sign of the etheric body. So she has a number of planetary indication that the etheric body is involved here. And if there is a weakness, as I said before, and I have mentioned this, I think, in other webinar, that it would affect the entire nervous system, which is ruled by Venus, and vitality. You know, I am pointing all the planetary influences here. And also the bloodstream. And bloodstream is conditioned by Neptune, is the most important planet for this disciple because it's the esoteric or soul ruler of her ascendant, indicating the soul purpose. Now, even though CDP didn't have Force Ray in her Ray makeup, she was astrologically under powerful Force Ray, because the triangle which transmit the Force Ray is Taurus, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, and she had very powerfully emphasized these energies, okay, of the Force Ray. She was living them. That's why it is so difficult for us to establish of our race, because we feel those energies, but they could be coming from our astrological influences and not necessarily being part of our present ray makeup. Or they could, you know, we could carry also the legacy ray from a previous life, which is a very powerful influence in this incarnation. So the element of air and the fourth ray, you know, leads us to the Buddhic plane also. Astral sensitive awareness in its highest form becomes a factor which makes intuitive awareness and intuitive sensitivity possible. Okay? So, aspirants, disciples, are at one stage of their development, and it is really the early stages of discipleship where this CDP disciple was, when they are strongly astral Buddhic in nature. And DK says specifically to this disciple that she was on astral Buddhic line. Okay? Astral Buddhic line, you know, she has a powerful triangle, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. Okay? The astral plane is ruled by Sagittarius. Okay? The Buddhic plane is ruled by Scorpio. She had a powerful energies for this connection, you know, Piscean energy. The planets which rule the Buddhic plane, like Mercury, Neptune, Venus, Jupiter, are all powerfully emphasized in her chart. So And you see, our solar system is a system of astral body consciousness, which is characterized by emotions, feelings, sensation, which have to be eventually transmuted into intuition, spiritual perception, and unity. And when we come to the hierarchy itself, you know, how the hierarchy contacts disciples. Hierarchy uses the abstract mind to reach the minds of disciples. That's why this requires the building and working antakarana from the lower to the higher mind, the higher or abstract mind. And we do know that the hierarchy shifted from the mental planes to the buddhic plane. And the possibility of the hierarchy to shift its focus to the buddhic plane became possible because the aspirants are now sensitive to contacts based upon the astral body consciousness. But these contacts are carried strictly on within the mental substance. Okay? So you see how everything is connected to everything else. Every detail has to be considered and synthesized into one whole. So this necessarily involves the three aspects of the mind, which is found on the mental plane. The concrete mind, the son of mind or the soul, and the abstract mind. And on the physical plane, this involves the activity and use of the ajna center, and particularly the pituitary body, which is the physical gland behind the ajna center. And there is a relationship between the heart center and the pituitary body. Only when the heart center becomes fully active is the pituitary body entering into activity. You see, here we are linking now various aspects together, bringing into relation the heart, the center of vitality, which we have considered before, to the love aspect, which is coming from the second law of healing and health, which controls predominantly the etheric body and its assimilation of prana, and also where the prana or life of matter joins the individualized life stream. All this picture, you know, is coming together. And there is a relation between the brain and the etheric body, because they are both receiving and transmitting agents of energies from the inner and outer levels. So we have the science of contact, of impression, we have the etheric body, and we have the brain. Three apparatus here, which are transmitters and receivers of energies from inner to outer levels. So they are all have to be considered behind the cause of this etheric devitalization. And the planet Earth, in the chart, as you see here, is also ruling the brain. Okay? So the brain, the prana, and the etheric are all related together. And if we now focus on the chart, you see the Earth is placed in Libra, but it is placed in Gemini decanate of Libra, and Gemini rules the etheric body. So the prana, the brain, the etheric body are connected here through that Earth. Venus rules both Gemini as a soul ruler, and it's placed there, and it's also rule Libra. Venus also ruled Taurus, which is related to prana, because Taurus is the energy which rules the second house of values and money. And what is money is concretized prana. So you see, all these linking energies are forming gradually the whole picture and indicating the causes lying behind the etheric devitalization. This conjunction here between the Mars in Taurus and Venus in Gemini, in relation to the etheric, these are the two bodies, physical dense Mars and Venus the etheric. And they are placed in the area of the 12th house, which is the Piscean house, indicating weakness. Here we find many chronic diseases. Okay, so every sign, every planet, every house, every center can be interpreted from different perspective, different levels. And when we find, aspects from, like from here, the conjunction is not in one sign, but it's in two. This is a critical degree of the Mars in Taurus, Venus in Gemini. I think I will mention that later about that aspect. What I wanted to really continue with these energies of the Earth, which is in aspect to that Venus, okay? By the 135 degree aspect, which is called sesquiquadrate. And there is a mutual relation between Venus as the esoteric ruler of Gemini, the exoteric ruler of Libra, where is the Earth. And the Earth is also the highest ruler of Gemini, the monadic or hierarchical ruler. So you see, the aspects are going in relation to the etheric field from the lowest to the highest. This is indicating the eventual line of higher development towards the cosmic ethers, particularly the fourth cosmic ether, the Buddhi, in relation to the astral Buddhic line upon which CDP was. And Venus also is related to Kama Manas, the lowest aspect of the mind, the desire mind, and is also one of the planets conditioning the Buddhic plane. Venus is also aspecting the sun by semi-square, okay? So we have a triangle between the sun, Venus and Earth. In relation now, specifically looking at the etheric body and vitality. And Sun obviously rules Leo, and it's trine to Uranus, planet ruling the etheric in Leo. Okay. And if I bring you now this chart, which is the quadra wheel, indicating this is the chart we were looking at. This is the natal chart, okay? These are the secondary major progressions. These are the solar arc progressions, and these are the transits. Okay. And this is set up for November 15, 1931, when she received this instruction. Okay. And you see, this is rather involved for those, I'm sure, of you who have no astrological knowledge or a very little astrological knowledge. But those who are into astrology would find this very interesting and fascinating to look into more details. Because in December, 1931, you see the transiting Saturn here in Capricorn, making exact square to her natal sun, and obviously to the Earth. And so we see, you know, the issue of the affected, you know, Saturn always blocks things in flow. Okay? So we have a blocked etheric body here. That is just one aspect, because you see, we have a Pluto here in the same degree, 21. It's a grand cross. Okay, Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, Libra. Interesting that the same grand cross was operating there with the, what we are experiencing in heaven for us. Uranus square Pluto, okay, with the Saturn. There is one planet missing in here, but, you know, we can see it very clearly how the etheric, the vitalization, you know, is affected astrologically. Uranus, which rules the etheric body, you see, everything is moving. It is going retrograde, it stops. You see, the Uranus is moving further, and it's coming over the Sun. You see it here, 21 degree over the Sun Earth. Okay? And the Pluto squaring. The T square, very difficult square, which is bringing the burning ground here, the burning ground, and you know, a point of tension, affecting maybe some other issue in her life, but we are considering mainly the etheric body here. So astrologically, when we go through the instruction, this is the way to look at it. We look at the natal chart, what is, you know, what is the potential, what how the soul anchored itself in this incarnation and what is happening through the life as the planets are moving and affecting all what is brought into this life in a way of energies. Okay? The most important combination of energies, actually, in relation now, astrologically speaking, to the to this etheric problem, is this triple conjunction involving the Chiron. Chiron, Sun, Neptune. Chiron is the most important planet in relation to health, which need to be always considered in a chart, which we, when we're dealing with any kind of health issues, any kind of misaligned or uncoordinated energies. The conjunction between Chiron and Sun is not only that, you know, the Chiron is a wound, and it's a healer also. So there is a wound to the vitality here. It is conjuncting the Sun and opposing the Earth. Okay? And it is also conjuncting Neptune, which is the most important planet for this disciple ruling her Cancer ascendant. Okay? And it's actually in aspect to that degree of the ascendant almost exactly by semi-sextile. No, sextile, sorry. So, and that Chiron is at the middle point between the Sun, Neptune. Okay? This is indication also from the perspective of the personality which the Sun rules, inferiority complex in relation to the personality. Now, and the glamour, that was another glamour, glamour of inferiority, which is another cause lying behind the, her etheric devitalized condition. When she was advised to meditate, she was using the Ajna Center, Venus, back to Venus. In Ajna, we visualize energies. She was sending the prana to the spleen. There is aspect between the Earth, which we have just talked about. Venus, Earth. And the transiting Jupiter here going through Leo, it's, you know, going over that Uranus, and it is also in aspect to the Sun as it moves towards that degree. Because, you know, there is a gap between this first and second instruction, nearly 2 years. So whatever he's saying in this instruction, you know, this is her whole life we almost talking about, because this is her life problem. Okay? Also we see the progress moon. You see, when it was conjuncting that Jupiter, exactly at the month of the November instruction, there was this Moon-Jupiter conjunction. Whenever we find important planets in aspect in a particular month or a year, which are the rulers of the ascendant, which the Moon is, and the Neptune in conjunction with her Dharma, you see, for me, it is telling me I have a pretty good rectified chart here, because when the angles are involved, that is, you know, the best checking point of the rectified chart. So you see, this is a year where CDP started her training under the master. The MC progressed here, came into conjunction with her soul, soul purpose ruler. So this was her soul purpose, coming under training of the disciple, working in the group, 11 house, new group of world service, a group work. I am just mentioning this because these aspects are very significant. You see, both rulers of the ascendant are involved. And for this disciple, the moon is working more as a personality ruler of the ascendant than is the Neptune, because she was just what DK called average disciple. At the beginning of the path of discipleship, we will come towards the instruction when, you know, we would consider to what extent she has actually fulfilled her soul purpose. Okay? So, I don't want to divert with this because we are focusing in the etheric area now and her problem there. So if the energy in which a person lives and moves and has the focus of his being is predominantly astral, then in the equipment will be emotional feeling energy, and this is what this disciple had. She made many trips to the astral plane, as DK said. Even her major focus was really the mental plane. Because she truly lived upon the mental plane in spite of her many trips on the astral plane. It is not surprising, being on an astral buddhic line with a powerful, astral body, and all the forces and energies of the astral plane conditioning her, and being conditioned on three levels by the sixth ray. Very powerful energy of the sixth ray. And you see some other causes of her etheric devitalization, where number of glamours, as I say, glamour of inferiority, glamour of the physical plane, physical body, physical disability, even one of the causes lying behind the etheric devitalization was a constant preoccupation with details. Okay? As DK say, she was always devitalized because of this number of causes lying behind that devitalized condition, and she was swimming in many glamours. So I have so much astrology. Yes?
I was just going to tell you, watch your time. You're coming on.
Right. Well, I knew I would not finish this because there is so much astrology here to mention, and in such a detail, that, you know, I was starting to hesitate if to really continue with that astrology, because I am sure there are a number of people who would find it difficult to follow it. So I have just a few minutes, and I'm just thinking, you know, what to mention in relation to the etheric. You see, the main factors which make better etheric control, DK advises the sunshine, the right diet, which, you know, for everybody, he was advising a different according to their own individual needs, but a controlled diet with the emphasis on proteins and vitamins, avoidance of fatigue and worry, which for this disciple was a major issue, you know, fatigue and, you know, of the devitalized condition, and worry, which is one of the aspect of fear, energy of the astral plane. So we have already discussed that, you know, in previous webinar in greater detail. Fatigue is more the condition of the physical body, but the lethargy can be evident also in the etheric. So that is why in the case of the ill health, we need to consider both inner and outer causes, where the inner cause is always the primary one, and the physical secondary. But, you know, we cannot just say that behind all our ill health lie only the inner energies, inner causes. No, we need to consider also the physical causes, but they are secondary, one to the inner. How long do we have, BL?
You've got about, what, 13 minutes if you want to stick to the 90 minutes, maybe enough time to answer a couple questions.
Okay. You know, I'm skipping a lot of things at the moment because I'm just thinking, you know, what would be if I leave the astrology in its more details. And when we looking at a physical body, you see, physical body is ruled by Mars and the Moon. You know, they are the lunar lords, and Mars is particularly the planet conditioning the dense physical. Etheric body we have discussed as the intermediary between the soul and the dense physical body. And for the disciple, upon the path of discipleship, the etheric body is the conductor of soul energy, obviously. Or it should be as a primary energy. And so the second ray, especially for this disciple who had a second ray soul, and is transmitted through Gemini, you know, where we have the Venus, which is also symbol of the soul, start to dominate the etheric body, the second ray soul energy. And this is the energy which shifting the force to the centers above the diaphragm. Now, you see, the physical body The other planet is the moon, and it's square Uranus, which is the etheric body. So you see, there is not, it's a difficult aspect, the square. So the issue between the etheric and physical is indicated also by this square. I'm just trying to point some very, you know, very little bit easy astrological energies for people to see, even those who are not so into astrology. She was also working with two more rays which she had not on her ray makeup. The first ray, which is transmitted through Aries, where is, you know, plays her sun in Aries, and the Vulcan energy of the Taurus, as a sole ruler of Taurus, where she has a powerful force of Taurus, the energy of you know, emotion, desire, prana, all related. And Vulcan, even we don't know where it is very close to the sun in Aries, okay, close to the conjunction of the sun Chiron there. So, and the first ray is also transmitted through Leo, which is related to the vitality, where is the Uranus. And Uranus in Leo is powerful first ray, focus, and as I said before, Uranus trine the sun in Aries, which transmit the first ray. So there is a need for her to develop, you know, to head center also, or at least to some degree, through the application of the will, particularly through that Vulcan energy. And it is emphasized particularly now through the transit of that Uranus through Aries, you see. And it is aspecting the natal Uranus by the trine, okay, initiating a new cycle of, you know, activity, vitality, also into the etheric body. That's why she was advised, you know, to work with that energy of prana, directing it to the etheric body. The other ray energy, which is powerfully conditioning the etheric field, is seven ray. And you see, she is a Cancer rising Aries sun, and the seven ray is transmitted through both of these signs. Again, she didn't have this ray in her ray makeup, but she was using it because when she was building her garden upon the mental plane, she was using the seven ray, and the seven ray is also conditioning the etheric field here. And the Ajna is under the influence of the seven ray through its quality of direction. It is directing the prana into the spleen. Okay? So you see, we can recognize the ray energies in our lives, which we know we are we using them, they are present in our life, but they are not necessarily part of our ray makeup. And this is the difficulty, you see, which we have, you know, to establish what really, which are the energies which we really working in this incarnation with. This is a, you know, this is a very good example with this disciple, that she was working with the ray energies which were not part of her ray structure in that incarnation. And actually, the real reason behind her building of her garden, of the garden upon the mental plane, was the development of the Ajna Center in that incarnation. And she was utilizing the seven ray in there, in its qualities of restoration and bringing order out of chaos. You see, she was creating garden which was, you know, in disorder, and she was restoring it into order and creating a perfect beauty at the end, beautiful garden, which we will come into that later on. And she was utilizing the abstract mind, which is the highest aspect of the soul, the first or father aspect, the manasic permanent atom on the first mental subplane is under the rulership of Uranus. I am bringing these energies into relationship, you know, with the etheric field, because they are all connected, you see. And the origin of this seven ray energy into Ajna is the atmic plane. And that is the high aspect found of the abstract mind on the atmic plane. And both the abstract and atmic mind are ruled by Uranus, which transmit the seven ray. And we know that the science of impression is connected with the abstract mind, with the spiritual triad, where we find the atmic mind, the atmic plane. A steady orientation of the disciple towards the spiritual triad becomes possible only when the abstract mind is developed, because not only that the hierarchy and the master is contacting the disciples through the abstract mind, but we need to go through it to the cosmic ethers. And that means the spiritual triad. And the abstract mind can become the seed. A seed comes under Aries. You see, Aries mantra for the soul: from the plane of mind I rule, I come forth, and from the plane of mind I rule. What plane? Is the highest aspect of the mental plane, the atomic subplane, where we find the mental permanent atom, which is really the abstract mind ruled by Uranus. You see? So you see, all these energies are linked together to a number of issues here. So the higher aspect of the abstract mind, as I said, is atmic plane. And where we find the spiritual or atmic will, okay, and the divine purpose. If we want to become responsive to divine purpose, we find it on the atmic plane, and we need to reach it through the abstract mind. These are the higher possibilities for this disciple, but because she was working with these energies on its lower levels, being in that telepathy group, which deals with the science of contact and impressions in relation to the etheric field, the physical ethers and the cosmic ethers have to be considered here. So you see, there is a number of issues which we need to look at to make a final judgment as to the causes lying behind this etheric the vitalized condition of this disciple. If she successfully release herself from her powerful force of the six ray energies, which she was working with already for the past three incarnations, this is her, was her first force incarnation, you know, they were all contributory factors, these six ray energies, in relation to the number of glamours behind her etheric devitalization, and its relation to the science of contact telepathy and invocation evocations science. Can I enter into something new, or shall I stop here, Bill?
Well, it's 90 minutes, so it's up to you and I guess the attendees as to whether you want to press on.
I will pause here because I was a little bit moving faster in order to say a few more things, but we can ask the people if they are still alive there, if they are following all this, and maybe they had enough, you know, to digest all this.
Okay, any hands, or do you want to say, should we continue, or do you want to stop and then let them raise their hands, or how would you like to handle that?
We open the floor for any comments if there are any.
Okay.
If not, it's okay.
Okay, raise your hand, please, if you have any questions, and we'll go ahead and unmute you so you can talk. Well, I don't see any hands.
Well, I'm sure it is too much to digest in here, too much information in a relatively short time. And, you know, I can see, you know, we are already 1.5 hour in process here. So maybe, you know, this is enough
if food, no comment, for thought.
Food for thought. I would like to just...
We have a comment. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, Christina.
Thank you, Elena. Unfortunately, I came in very late, but there is very much to digest. And if you want to continue, I would stay on, but it's up to you. And like I say, I came in late, so I'm not in a position to sway it one way or another, other than to say thank you.
Thank you, Christina. What I was going to say, that I am presenting a workshop at the conference on this disciple and on this issue of etheric devitalization. So any of you who are planning to come to the conference, you would have another opportunity, you know, to be personally present and be more interrelation with you know, questions and so on. Or maybe this is an incentive for you to attend the conference.
Or the live stream.
Or the live stream, yes. Everything is now, you know, recorded, televised. It's going, you know, through the ethers. So you can follow it there, because, you know, even I would be repeating many things, I would be, you know, bringing some new aspect. And, you know, I haven't finished things. So anyway, I thank you, everybody, for your attention, for your attendance, and to really go, you know, especially into the astrology, it is always, you know, to go to the recordings and take your time and listen to it again and so on, if you have obviously the interest to do so. If you know, if there is no comments and so on, so we can end in here.
Okay, we have one comment. Brilliantly insightful, a great deal to ponder. Thank you very, very much, Elena. That's from Malia.
Thank you, Malia.